Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. As I was preparing for a message yesterday, I was kind of struggling with what to talk about, and I finally landed on Colossians 3. So we will switch gears here a little bit. Thank you for sharing that, Zach. That was a blessing. The thoughts you shared on that. But the reason I landed on that was that as, you know, the year comes to an end and we look forward to the coming year and just an overall review of how are things going, then to renew our aims and goals for the coming year or just the Christian life as a whole. And it was well covered there in Colossians, just a brief overview there. Appreciated that. That will, if we can surrender to that, those principles, that we'll get what is promised to the believer. And that was so. With that, I'm just going to maybe talk about the birth of Jesus Christ here this morning a little bit. I also contemplated that, but we'll talk about that and draw some points from Luke chapter 2. Here, so you can pray for me here. We have the whole Word of God in front of us, so we should be okay. All right, well, why don't we bow our heads here? Dear God, we do come before you here this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your Word, which abides eternally, and I know that it is a map and a guide for us, Lord, and that if we submit and surrender our hearts to that, that we'll have a righteous ending. And I pray, Lord, for each one that is here, that you might minister to their heart and comfort them and convict them and admonish each other here, Lord, by your Spirit and Word. Help us, Lord, to handle the Word carefully, recognizing that it is your Word, but you've blessed us with it. We pray, Father, we could handle it accordingly. We also pray for strength and wisdom of your, also an infilling of your Spirit, Lord, as we look into that Word and we talk about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and what we can learn from some of those things. At this time, we thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I have not very often preached about the birth of Jesus Christ, but I always, when someone asks me how we acknowledge Christmas, I say we acknowledge it as much as the Scripture gives it in the Word. That's what we acknowledge. So that is, I think, the right place to be. So it was, when we consider a couple things I'd like to talk about here. We'll just begin reading in Luke chapter 2, but in Luke 1, when that angel appeared unto Mary, there's a few things in there that I'd like to remind us of. A few things that the prophetic word was being fulfilled here. And when we consider the birth of Christ, how that if we know or had known that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the way he came, it was a very unlikely way. But let's just begin reading here in... let's just begin reading here. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, this is Luke 2, verse 1, that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I know there's lots of stories can be put around about this, but I like to just keep it to the God's word. And there were... in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And I'd like to just maybe go back there to that. The shepherds were probably, I would say that would be the meanest occupation in that day, where they were tending their sheep out on the range there. And then when that light came down, they were astonished and beyond afraid, I think. But it wasn't just one. You know, the scripture repeats over and over that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So when them, what, two, three, it could have been two, it could have been four, it could have been five. But when they heard it and seen it, they rushed to tell everyone they knew. In other words, they went to see to verify it, and then they spread the word. And I had to think about, you know, the scripture says in the New Testament that you can do nothing against the truth. And that's so real today. You can't remove the truth of God's word from anything. Though you may try, you still can't change it. You can't remove the truth. You can do nothing against it. And so it was when, and it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And I'd like to go back. That peace on earth, goodwill toward men. In other words, Brother Solly shared the other day, he said that it was the goodwill of God being manifested toward humanity, that he sent Christ as a babe, and he's not a babe, he became the risen Savior, but it was the goodwill, God's good intentions for you and me, was that was his will toward us. His will is that not any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. The goodwill of God. And what Zach shared this morning about the peace of God, let it rule in your hearts. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And how? And the thing we need to understand is that peace on earth is only possible from Christ within. If we have the carnal nature and animosity that easily rises up and there's no peace there, but the peace of God, if we have that ruling in our heart, it has to be rooted in Jesus Christ to be the real peace. So that's just some thoughts there. And it came to pass, okay, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph in the babe lying in a manger. And the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, when they heard it and witnessed it, they didn't stop there. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Can you imagine these three shepherds walking around saying, this is what we saw, this is what we heard. And, you know, the truth was, you couldn't do nothing against it. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And see, Mary, she had, you know, the angels came to her, and she was just a young virgin. And they told her that she was going to give birth to the Savior of the world. It says here in verse 35 of chapter 1, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, you know, I don't know. The thing that I'd like to point out here is that God, in his humility, he used the meekest and the lowly to bring forth his only begotten Son. It's just something to ponder. You know, the powers that be on earth today, or that have been from since creation, Yet God used the meekest and the lowly to bring forth the only means to return back to him. It wasn't by power or by might, but by his Spirit. That's why the scripture says that we're to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And I think that was back in Matthew chapter 1. I'd like to turn to that. Matthew chapter 1. This was verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, that would be betrothed. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt save his name, shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a prophetic word. He shall save his people from their sins. And when the days of her purification, according to the law, this is back in Luke 2, verse 22, according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now, I'd like to point out a few things, but in the prophetic, when it was prophesied of his birth, it was said that he was going to be for the fall and rising of many. And I'm not real sure how to interpret that, but that is a truth today. Either we're lifted up of Christ and going to rise with him, or we're going to fall without him. That's the black and white of it. But it says he was set for the fall and rising of many. Now, if ye then be risen, as we heard this morning, hopefully we've surrendered to that truth for the setting and fall of many in Israel. That was a prophetic word of him. But then back to Simeon here. I'd like to sometimes, I believe God ministered by the Spirit back in the days. He was a just and devout man, and God told him specifically that he was going to see the Savior. And he waited with anticipation, looking forward to the coming of that revelation. And then when it was revealed to him, he went right away and witnessed it. He verified it. He took him in his own arms and said that, I have seen thy salvation. He knew where he stood. But I would just like to point out that back in the day, there were some that didn't have a clear revelation, and yet they looked forward to with what they had, with all they had. And today it's been made clear to us that sometimes when we look upon it, it has came to pass. I wonder if we have as much zeal as Simeon did when he was looking forward to it. Something to think about. The same way with Anna. It says here, going on here, that just some, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That is, you know, to think about this was taking place in a 100% Jewish setting, and yet Simeon said that he was going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, to enlighten the Gentiles, which is where we're at, which is who we are. And the glory of thy people Israel. And I know there's still people today that would confess to be Jews, and they still say that Jesus is coming. That's not true. He has came and gone into heaven. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And, you know, he took the baby in his arms, and they're sitting there listening to what that Simeon is saying. Yes, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I think about when we consider the crucifixion, what does that do to my heart? It reveals the thoughts of my heart and how I consider the crucifixion. Do I consider it that it was because of me and my sin? Am I one of the reasons he was crucified? Most surely. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Consider that when he says that, and this was prophetic, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I think of the Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to turn to that. It's a good reminder every time I read that, Hebrews chapter 4. It says here in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 4, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, the one we give an account to. In Colossians 1, it said of Jesus Christ that all things were created by him and for him, and without him there was not one thing made that was made. We were made in his image. So, and then that many hearts are revealed. The thing we need to understand when I was talking about Hebrews 4 there, that verse was that the thoughts and intents of our heart, the Lord knows them. They might be secret here for a while, but the Lord does know the thoughts and intents of our heart. And then it says in verse 36 that there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. That would be 84 years she was a widow, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, here's another old lady, a prophetess. And when she witnessed that baby, she said, this is the redemption that people have looked for and need. This is that redemption. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of God, they turned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Then we'll keep on reading here. When they went back, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned again back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they were looking for him for 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and said unto him, his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, the father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I'd just like to point out to you children there, even though that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he still obeyed his parents in the time that God had placed him under them. But let's just turn back to, there's a few thoughts I'd like to bring out in Matthew chapter 2, I think it is. This was where it starts out in chapter 2 where the wise men came. And what it reminded me when I read that, you know, they had heard. Now when Jesus was born, verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2, was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? The one thing I'd like to point out about Simeon and Anna and even these wise men was that they were well-versed in the Word of God. And when it unfolded before their eyes, they moved with it because of it. The Word of God was in their hearts. And that's what I just like to encourage ourselves, that to try to be well-versed in the Word of God. That way, when things come about, it's not foreign to you. You know, the prophetic word of Jesus Christ and his birth, they were, when that came, it was like, yes, that's it. That's what it is. So may we, there's many reasons to have the word of God in our hearts. Number one is that we don't sin against God. That's one reason. And with the day and age that we're living in, as time unfolds and we're living in the latter days, when things come up, we're not, it's familiar. We've had that. We've been reading about that in his word. And God is timely in all that he gives us. So just encourage my own heart that read the word of God. There's many things in Corinthians chapter 1, it says that God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save some. That's his method of you know, hearing the word of God and taking it to heart. God has chosen that method. And we live in a day and age where we have so much available at our fingertips, phones, computers, you name it, there's no end to it, of the things that you can look for. And I would just say keep it pure. Keep within the word of God. And they can be helps, but I would use a lot of caution with what's out there and what's available. Keep the word of God in your hearts. That's one thing I wanted to point out. Then it says here, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now here's a king, and then he's told the question, where's that king that's coming? Where's he at? Right away he rose up and was going to snuff out this king because his own position was threatened. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, he was not familiar with the word of God. He was just an earthly king. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. You can read in Malachi and Psalms 2, verse 1, and it was given that word that he's going to rise up out of Nazareth, a king of kings. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And I think about sometimes this Israel can be placed of his church, but if we go back to Isaiah chapter 53, it says that he shall be called the mighty, mighty Lord, the counselor, the Prince of Peace, all those things, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And that's, I'm always comforted when I read that scripture, because that despite our surroundings, what might be happening in the civil offices of our land, we want to remember that the governments are on his shoulders. Remember that. He has control of those things. They are on his shoulders. What happens with them, he has allowed. Don't think for a minute that he don't know what's going on. The government shall be upon his shoulders. That was prophesied of him and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And I think about that too. May we have a yearning in our hearts that we'd have a desire that people would seek and enter the kingdom of God today. That kingdom has no end. It's never full. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me a word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him unto him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. It doesn't say too much about the wise men. In other words, I think they were directed of God just to worship the babe there. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. See, God was, it's interesting, the details that God was given. You know, he was the only begotten son of him, but he was directing the parents of where to go and how to avoid this, what was coming because of Herod. And when he arose, and here's another thing I'd like to say, is that when Joseph and Mary received instruction, they were the meek and lowly, but they obeyed. That's why they just surrendered. I'd just like to point that out for you children, that when you receive instruction, it's just your responsibility to obey. And they quietly did that. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children that would not be comforted because they were not, because they are not. I wanted to think about that. It's heartbreaking. But every male child that 2 years and under, I can't imagine, were slain because of the king's decree. And it has some similarities to when the children of Israel were called out of Egypt. There was another method. He said that the firstborn of every household was going to die that night, except there was blood on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's the same principle today, is that, you know, God, he took Joseph and Mary out of there so that they would avoid that. And then, the thing that's interesting here is that God in his almighty power could have blinded everybody and let that baby right there in Bethlehem. I don't doubt that for a minute, but he chose to just tell them, walk, get out of here. And they had the opportunity to just obey. And I had to think of the same principle when the Lord asked the children of Israel to slay the lamb and paint the doorpost, so that when the death angel comes over, that he will pass over you. He said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." When he had, he could have, and I always say it like this: you know, God knew where they were. God knew where they were, every one of them. And yet he asked them to paint the doorpost. You know, God wants a witness in our life. He wants a witness of Jesus Christ in our life. And like I like to say it like this, don't be afraid to paint the doorpost. Even though he knows where we're at, don't be afraid to paint the doorpost. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. I'm just going to quit reading there. I think that, you know, we can, I know there's, that is the word of God, the birth of Jesus Christ. And, you know, he's, I'd like to just end it here with that he's not a baby in a manger today, which we know that. He's a risen Savior, and he's at the Father's right hand interceding for all of us in this room. If we have needs, they're going to come. If we have some affliction and some sorrow, those most surely will come. He still intercedes on our behalf, and he is there for us. We can boldly come to the throne of grace and receive grace to help in, for help in time of need. So I think I will just sit down there, and if somebody was, if there was something shared that wasn't according to God's word, why, you could make that known unto me. May the Lord bless each one of you.